Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Farnell Newton, educator, composer, arranger, and trumpeter. Do you love good jazz and great jazz conversation? You'll hear it all on Coffee Talk Jazz Radio Los Angeles with one of the best broadcasters and radio hosts in the business, Miss Bridgette. What happens when straight-ahead jazz meet hip-hop fusion? You've captured the essence of real jazz music, and that's exactly what you'll hear in my new project, Class Is Now in Session. You can pick it up at iTunes, Amazon, CD Baby, and more, and you can also check me out at www.farnellnewton.com. Be sure to tune in each week and get your jazz fix right here on Coffee Talk Jazz Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to an afternoon edition of Coffee Talk Jazz Radio with award-winning host, Miss Bridgette Lewis. Boy, do we have a power-packed show for you today. I am so excited about this afternoon's guest. So I'm just going to go ahead and give him a proper introduction, and then I'm going to tell you guys what is happening. Man, so much is going on here. His name is Johnny Murdaugh Jr. He is a proud native of Orangeburg, South Carolina, and he is a multi-instrumentalist. He plays alto and soprano sax, and he creates breathtaking, beautiful, soul-stirring melodies. I'd like to welcome the newest member to the Coffee Talk Jazz family. Johnny's in the building. Hello, hello.
Hello, how you doing? Can you hear me?
Bye. Yes, how are you?
I'm doing wonderfully. I'm doing wonderful this afternoon.
Oh, awesome. So I got to tell you, before we even get started, let me just kind of tell you, like, who's actually hanging out with us. And you got to tell me where you are in relationship to some of the folks that are hanging out. So we see Somerville, South Carolina. Rock Hill is in the building. Greenville. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, is in the building. Myrtle Beach is in the building, and Eastleigh is in the building. So how close are you to some of these cities? We got some folks that are hanging out and giving you some big love from South Carolina today.
Well, I am from the Midlands. Orangeburg is in the middle of the state. We are about 45 minutes from Columbia, about 70 miles or so from Charleston. So the Somerville group is real close to us. Right now I am in Charlotte celebrating my daughter's 21st birthday this weekend.
Oh, congratulations. That is so awesome. So I also see that Florida's in the building, a super big presence there. Jacksonville, Florida, hello. Tampa, hello. Pensacola, Florida, hello. St. Augustine, Hello, these are big numbers. Gainesville, Florida, we have a big following there. And Fort Myers, Florida. Hello, guys. Welcome to the party. And El Paso, Texas, we see you. Austin, Texas, hello. Galveston, Corpus Christi. And Waco, Texas, we love you guys. So today we're going to be celebrating birthdays. This day in jazz history, we will have a couple of gift giveaways and so much more. But the question is this. When did you first fall in love with music? I know that's so loaded.
Yes, it is. if you talk with my late grandmother who passed away at 100 years old about 15 years ago, she would tell you that I started at the age of 5, basically as in the church. So my love for music shone even before I knew that the love was there, and it's been with me ever since.
Wow. When you said that, it made me think about Whitney Houston. Wouldn't you say that some of the best singer-songwriters and musicians, they really do come out of the church?
That's right. That's right. Because I guess on my educational side, you kind of show your emphasis before you know it early ages. And fortunately for African Americans, the church is an opportunity for us to be who we are, learn about ourselves, and actually present who we are that early. Because you have those Mother's Day, for Baptist folks, that's the they call them conventions, where you go
to
be part of the talent show and the conventions, and you start as early as 5, even if when you do the programs for Christmas, even if you only have a thing or just your speeches. Happy or Merry Christmas or Happy New Year, you start off saying those things in church.
I got to tell you, I have the biggest grin on my face because you literally have taken me back. I was 5 years old, and I'll never forget her name. And for those of you, Bapacostal, Pentecostal, y'all know what I'm talking about. Come on now. Do I need to talk to y'all? Okay, listen, right? So I remember it was time for the Easter speech, and so I come from a family of educators as well. So my mom says, okay, she says, when you get up there, she said, you cannot go up there holding a piece of paper. So you're going to have to memorize your speech. And I got to tell you, I remember it like it was yesterday. And we called it the big church because it was children's church, right? And then when it came time for the programs, we march in, from the junior department to the senior department and the high school department, and everybody had their say. And I just literally remember holding the microphone. I was really like maybe 5 or 6 years old and feeling so comfortable, like I'm supposed to be here. My mom said my chest was up, my head was back, and I did my thing. So I completely agree with you. It does really start, in the church. And today we're going to be playing – today we're going to be playing your new single, The Way Back. We're going to take it all the way back. We're also going to throw in there, I Bet You, Your Smile. But I really want to get into some of the genesis because you are an educator. We want you to take folks to school today. And so you were like, oh, my God, I didn't know I was going to work today. I thought we were going to celebrate my daughter's birthday. But happy birthday to your daughter. So what would you say to a novice? You're welcome. What would you say to a novice? They have an idea and they say, Dr. Johnny, I think I want to play music. I'm not really sure how to read it. I kind of feel it. And I don't really know where to start. So can you give them like an ABC lesson of how they would even get started in trying to even play music or even write music? Most people don't have
to. Simplest is best. First thing you start off with, I tell my students that recording what you're looking for. So if you have an idea or a melody, you record it. Because a lot of times, I know a lot of songwriters who may keep pen and paper and recorders by their bed, because if they wake up with at night and remember and have a melody, they sing it or jot it down, because a lot of that stuff, you know, when it comes to creativity, a lot of times it's in and out. So you have to make sure you jot, you can kind of remember what those are, because if you say, oh, I'm going to remember, and you wait till the next day, a lot of times they're like dreams. You know, you dream a big dream, and you say, I'm going to remember it, and then the next day you're like, okay, what was I thinking about back then? I can't remember. So jotting it down is the first thing. You know, you can go from easy way of doing it, of course, is by writing down the lyrics if you're a lyricist, because I know a lot of folks and musicians who focus mostly on music, the melody side, and not necessarily the lyric side, because I can, I'm not as good at lyrics, but my daughter is a better at lyrics than I am. So it's just kind of jotting those things down and recording it. You know, actually, I started by, I think on Amazon, I have like the journal, musician's journal that I put out there to help you kind of formulate ideas, and putting them together to write a song, because that's what you really need. Once you have that in mind, then you can go to the next step. But until you know what the melody, and I tell my daughters all the time, the melody is the vehicle for a strong song. You have to have a strong melody. If you have that, everything else falls in line. But if you don't have that vehicle, then it's difficult to drive your song.
Wow. You said so many things that were key, because I thank God that he's really blessed me just with an abundance of creativity. And I just remember being consciously aware that I was asleep. And that may sound crazy to the listeners, right? And I sat straight up in bed, and there, all these ideas were flowing. And I literally keep a pen and pad by my bed, and I'm a God's girl. So God was giving me these ideas. I couldn't even write them down fast enough. I was like, wow. And when I finally decided to get up today, and I went back and I read everything, and I was like, oh, my God. I mean, and so I get exactly what you're saying. When that creativity is there, it's like you got to either jot it down, put it in a recorder, put it in your iPhone, put it someplace, because that one idea can take you in multiple different, you know, directions. And I completely agree with you. I'll give you another example. I've written a couple of books. A lot of people may not know that. They're available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. The first book is called From Pitfalls to Purpose, which I wrote 5 years ago. And the other book is called The Power of a Dream, talking about how I dreamed the life that I'm living like right now. When I was working in education, a lot of people don't know that I worked as an educator. I was an academic admissions advisor at University of Southern California for 10 years. I know y'all so surprised. Come on now. I'm the coffee lady. I got a lot of surprises. So we got a lot of y'all coming, Dr. Johnny. So thank you so much for that. So I love your melodies. Sure. I love your grooves and everything. And there are a lot of incredible sax players out there, and I can rattle off 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, you know, saxophonists, everybody from Boney to Gerald Albright to Dave Koz to Tom Braxton. I mean, oh, my God, 1,000. And then I listen to your music, and it's amazing. It sounds completely different. So the question is, how did you find your voice? Because when I listen to you, you don't sound anything like Boney. Y'all both sound amazing. So how did you find your unique signature on the sax?
Be honest with you, even though I've been doing this for about 30 years, my sound and who I am is still evolving. But it's basically life. With my background in music, you know, as a saxophonist, I actually have a master's in music. So I perform everything from classical to straight ahead jazz to R&B. Of course, gospel was ingrained since 5. So it's a combination of all of those together that kind of makes or developed my sound. I know I was always focused on making sure my sound was clear, because what I wanted to do was, I believe in being expressive, and I want to make sure my message is clear with my sound. So I spent a lot of time making sure that my melody's clear and it makes sense. It feels correct, and I can get on the soapbox telling my music students, writing music is writing a paragraph. I mean, it has to have a beginning and an end. It has to have a main idea. If you think about it, if you look at the parts of a phrase of music and a paragraph, a phrase is more of a sentence. So what phrase ties into the next? Paragraph, you're looking at your three parts to, when you look at music form, a lot of times there are three parts to every song. Well, in a paragraph, there are three parts. You can have a three-paragraph essay, or you can have a five-paragraph essay. You can be as complex as you want. But if you think about it, the ideas of each of those each of those sections are clear. So when you look at that, you're thinking about that. It even goes back to writing when you're thinking about that. The way you start off and the way you end, people remember that more than what's in the middle. So focusing on those things is extremely important as I try to develop new music. But clarity is what my focus is. That's why I'm slow at developing or presenting new material, because I'm my biggest critic, and sometimes I can be too much of a perfectionist to make sure those things are that clear before I present them.
Wow. You really said a mouthful, because, it's like you're in my head, and when you talked about beginning, the middle, and the ending, you took me right back to when I wrote my first book, and it literally started out as a journal. And Holy Spirit said, he says, you have books in this journal. And so when I began to write, I had to really get clear on what I wanted the book to really be about, who I really wanted the book to speak to. And I realized that everything was in the journal. I realized I couldn't put everything in the book because it would be too much. So of course, I have a beginning, a middle, and an ending, and there's a whole central theme. So this is why I hope you guys have your notepads out, your steno pads. I hope you have a number two pencil so you can take notes and erase if you got it right, because the doctor's in the building, class is in session, and so we want to get into some of this delicious music. I definitely want to give a couple of items away. You cannot win if you don't call in, and so we're going to go ahead and play the new single. It's called The Way Back. And then, Dr. Johnny, if you can set this up for the fans, we're going to play it. And we're going to come back with more good coffee and great chat. So can you set up this track, and then I'll play it for the fans.
Okay. Well, The Way Back is the song I kind of wrote to discuss or have a conversation about the way I am getting back into the music business. So you'll see some things, including my love of big band jazz, my love of harmonies and I like playing around with the melodies. In addition to, we talk about the different sections, so you get a chance to kind of see exactly what I'm coming up with. It took me a while to get this focus where I want it. So I really, a lot of times you put out some music and you say, well, is this what I want? And you're not sure. But after we finished this one, I said, okay, there's nothing else I could have done to this. This is where it needs to be, and here it is.
I love it. Let's take a listen, family.
Marjane, contemporary gospel recording artist. Do you love good coffee and a great chat? Well, today is your chance to peek behind the curtain with your favorite artist. Are you celebrating a birthday? If so, join us with the Coffee Talk Jazz Radio Birthday Club. Send us a text at 562-355-0311 or email us at coffeetalkjazzradio@msn.com. We'll also give you a live shout-out and plenty of Twitter love. You never know what you might win. Call us today if it's your birthday at 347-934-0108. Be sure to follow our tweet and also follow us on Facebook. So happy birthday from Miss Bridget and the Coffee Talk Jazz crew.
Hi, this is Nicolio. Let's keep the Coffee Talk party brewing each Sunday, 5 to 8 p.m., Tuesdays, 3 to 6 p.m., and Fridays, 1 to 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. You'll hear jazz greats, R&B, soul, and funk influences. Stay tuned and you'll hear jazz past and jazz still to come. Be sure to tune in and listen in with your host, Miss Bridget.
And dolls, we are back. We're broadcasting live. You listen to the very best in Blog Talk Radio here at Coffee Talk Jazz with your host, Miss Bridget Lewis, and the very talented Dr. Johnny Murdaugh Jr. is in the building celebrating his daughter's birthday. So again, we wanted to give her an amazing shout out for her 21st birthday. So we played a little bit of a birthday song, so we hope she is tuning in. Hey, hey, hey.
All right.
I got to tell you, you were in the pocket. That was so funky, and I was trying to do my best to behave. Sometimes it's a little hard because I love music so much, and it just pours out of me. And we're live tuning throughout the show. We've popped up the links for your Coffee Talk Jazz Music Marketing Store, and so you guys run. Do not walk to the link, and go ahead and show Dr. Johnny some love today and go ahead and purchase that music and leave some comments and let him know how you feel about that funky track that we just played. All right, y'all, don't make me come and get you. Okay, I'm going to try and behave. So the next question I have for you, Dr. Johnny, is can you share three reasons why children should learn to play an instrument?
Wow. See, that's good because I started out as a middle school band director. So basically my job was to prepare and get them ready for instruction in addition to teaching them how to play. So I've spent time with many musicians in the Atlanta area and in South Carolina. So there are several reasons. One, it requires you to think in a different manner. Music is another language.
Mm.
So by focusing on that other language, because now you're adding math in addition to organization skills when you're dealing with music, because reading the symbols is something that you would have quarter note, half note, whole notes, and being able to identify those signals and actually have your body to do it. So basically, you're using the music talent, you're using the bodily kinesthetic talents, all of those to work together in music. That's the first thing. Second thing, it gives you the opportunity to make sure things work. It develops a work ethic. Because one situation is how many music pieces or concerts you've gone to where the musician played 70% of the notes correct. You want to work till it's done. And see, that's something that it has to be ingrained, because now, let's face it, in a lot of places, you can get a 60 in an English class and still pass. But you cannot But you cannot take that work ethic into music, because there's no way you're going to allow yourself to make 60% or 70% or 30 to 40% incorrect and still be successful.
Yeah, that's not going to work.
That's right. I tell the story when I started teaching in Atlanta, and it was the first time me teaching kids. My principal said, "Listen, I want in December, I want a Christmas concert." Now, believe me, now these kids never seen an instrument. So in August, you're starting. I want a Christmas concert, and at the Christmas concert, I want to be able to understand what they're playing. So if they're playing Jingle Bells, I want to know what Jingle Bells is, Jingle Bells that they're playing. And they have no instruments yet. No instruments. They have no musical background. So you have to work with parents getting instruments. You have to work with the students on how to read the music, how to the symbols, how to know what the notes are on the staff, how to know how to use the embouchure, which is the way you blow in the instrument, what your fingering patterns are, all of that stuff, and have them perform within three to four months. So that's the challenge of what.
That's such a tall order.
That's correct. But believe it or not, you know, and I guess the third thing you would know why students work to what they're interested in. Interest trumps everything else. You may say he doesn't have the aptitude or this or that, but if the child desires to do it, they're going to turn everything they can to make sure that they're successful. So they'll reach beyond their level to make sure things happen if that's what they want to do.
Boy, didn't I tell y'all that Dr. Johnny was going to take us to school today? Y'all thought I was playing with you, which is a great, man. I mean, it's like my mind is going in so many wonderful directions, and I'm really proud of what we've created, you know, because in 2010, we created the Gift of Music Foundation for Children. As a matter of fact, I named it after my late mother before she had passed, and my mom and I had talked about it because I really wanted to honor her legacy while she was still around. And so being that I came from, you know, came out of USC, you know, my mom's got her master's and all that kind of stuff. And I said, you know, one of the things that I saw, the disparity in just across the country, but in Los Angeles, one of the things that I saw was how music really bridges the divide between the black babies and the brown babies and going to concerts and different things like that. You never saw anybody in disagreement. You never saw anybody fighting. Why? Because they had one common goal. Everybody loved music. And so I went to LAUSD, which is Los Angeles Unified School District. I went to the board and I said, hey, I've got a whole team. I know so many incredible musicians in Los Angeles, and I really want to see how we can step in and really do something, you know, in the school. And they said, well, what do you have in mind, right? So I had this huge, big proposal, and I said, I really want to adopt 2 to 3 schools. I want to get in there with some of the musicians, and we want to have like a career day. We want to come in and talk about music. Everybody's not going to get first chair. You know, everybody's not going to be in the orchestra. However, we do know that bringing these musicians in, I mean, it really kind of altered and really changed the way that young people really begin to really think about music. And then we begin to talk about, you know, when I had my time to stand up and have a conversation, you know, we talked about, you know, when a child is taught music at an early age, you learn math, you learn to count, you learn to add, divide, subtract. I mean, because everything is tied into, as you just said, you know, so, you know, we adopted those schools. And then I said, well, God, what more can I do? And then the schools are saying, you know, Miss Lewis, you know, we don't have a budget. The parents can't afford it. And so I said, you know, going to the NAMM show all these years, and I said, you know what? I started building out those relationships with a funny guitar, with Cannonball Music, and I'm like, hey, you guys have deep pockets. Here's our goal. Here's our mission. This is what we want to do. We need you guys' help. And so I asked largely. The Bible says to ask largely. And I said, look, we not only need money, but we need some student trumpets, we need some saxophones, and guess what? We started to get them. And so it was exciting for us to do that because the administrators, the teachers were like, wow, they said, we haven't had anybody to even take this type of interest in our kids. You know, why is this so important to you? And I said, I believe that an instrument can keep a child off the street. I believe that just in having that focus, well, I mean, he could completely change his life just by adding in that whole music piece. You feel me on that?
That's right. That's
Man.
Right. Matter of fact,
yeah,
we focused as well. My family, we own a business called The Music Doctor in Orangeburg. And because
Love
my father
it.
And I are both ex-band directors, we actually go to schools and we believe every child should have an opportunity. If the parent will work with
yeah.
us, we don't do down payments, all of that extra stuff to make sure the child has the instrument. As long as we can pay for, you know, the instrument through their payments and everything. But the fact is,
right.
we give them an opportunity. Because you have plenty of businesses that come in and say, well, you know, you got to have a credit card. Well, what if you don't have a credit card? We want
right.
to make sure the child
yeah.
has the opportunity. And we've been in business 20 years working
beautiful.
With students to give them that opportunity to play music. Because music is fundamental, and it helps you develop your focus in life. So your students need to be able to see past their station. They need to see
yeah,
past
yeah.
them. And music allows
yeah.
them the opportunity.
Wow. This is so good. So I have another question for you. I want you to think about it, but I want to get into some more of this delicious music because I know y'all felt the last song that we played, right, the way back. So now we want to get into his track. It's called Bet You. And Dr. Johnny, if you can set this up for us, I'll ask you the question. I want you to think about it, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about your answer. And so my question is, how do you think music helped folks during the pandemic? How do you think music helped folks during the pandemic? It was a tough time, and now can you set up Bet You, and then we'll come back and we'll get your answer.
Okay. Well, good music is good music. Bet You is we all know it as Bet You by Golly Wow. It is one of my favorites. And I looked at several different versions. This actually was a version that Prince did. So I kind of made an adaptation to that to kind of really lean into the lyrical side, to enjoyment, relaxation. So this piece was designed for you just to relax and enjoy.
All right, here we go, guys. Let's take a listen.
Thank you. Hi, this is Marco.
And this is Stan.
And we are the Smooth Jazz Alley. We'd like to thank Coffee Talk Jazz Radio for our live interview with Ms. Bridget Lewis.
And also for our successful four-week radio campaign that has made us a top seller in jazz on CDBaby.com.
Steaming hot coffee and a great chat? How about insightful interviews with award-winning and upcoming performers? Hi, I'm Vincent Wolfe, inviting you to tune in every week to Coffee Talk Jazz Radio with Ms. Bridget Lewis. It's the number one jazz radio show on the internet, available at blogtalkradio.com/Ms. Bridget Lewis. Tell your friends and let them know Vincent Wolfe sent you.
Guys and dolls, we are back, and we just love that last track. And I was over here silently singing, lip syncing, trying my best to behave. And I want to say, if you want to see your favorite guest on the show, send an email to coffeetalkjazzradio@msn.com. Also go to our website at www.coffeetalkjazz.com and sign our guest book. And we want to hear your comments about Dr. Johnny's show and about his music. And again, his links are posted. You guys can go ahead and you guys can download those songs. They're all sitting in his music store. So Dr. Johnny, before we went to a commercial, the question was asked, how do you think that music helped people get through the pandemic? Because that was, it almost seemed like the pandemic didn't happen because, it was something.
Yes, it was. Basically, wow. It helped your sanity because you get cabin fever sitting in that room, and you really don't know. And a lot of folks, you really don't know how much you need other people until you're sitting in there by yourself. Mm-hmm. And the only way you can contact somebody is on the phone because you can't go out.
Right. Yeah.
It was just incredible. You had a chance to, now if you were a person who talks to yourself or you think intrinsic or you think about things, that was a good time for you. But if you were a person who loved talking to people and relationships and interactions, that was not a good time. Even if you love TV, you know, after a while they stopped making new series because of the fact that they couldn't do it. So music was the out for most people because it allowed you to listen to other arts. You actually learn things about music because you start listening to other genres after you've been listening to the same thing for so long.
Exactly, man. Like, I wholeheartedly agree. And I'm such a great lover of jazz. But I got to tell you, I pulled out, listen, you guys, I had to dig down in the crates. I still have some LPs and some 45s. Don't make me talk about it. You put the disc in the middle and then pop the needle with the rubber band when it got scratched. Come on now. Can I talk to y'all today?
That's right.
You guys, I'm a 60s baby, so, you know, I came from the world where, you know, mama would say don't let the light catch you outside, and if they catch you out there, you're going to stay out there, but then when you get in the house, you're going to get it because you were supposed to be in the house. Come on now, right? Where are my 60s babies?
Right.
Come on, y'all, talk to me, right? So,
An 8-track tape.
Oh my God! Yes, the 8-tracks. I totally forgot about the 8-tracks. Wow. You've accomplished a lot on your musical journey. What are you most proud of?
Well, I guess I'm most proud of my newest releases. I've been working on some things for a while, and then, you know, life happens. Got into education, and my focus was solely progressing, and then, of course, when you have a family, people, for some reason, when kids get in the habit of eating, you can't break that habit. So you have to keep working to make sure that they can continue that habit. So your focuses have to shift to make sure things happen. So now my kids are, like I said, my youngest is 21 on tomorrow. So my focus can now be back on and doing what I enjoy doing. Not saying that education wasn't enjoyable, but, you know, my focus was always music, and it gives me an opportunity to get back and focus on that again.
Man, shoot. When you said that, you just took me all the way back. Like, I only have one son, but he was like having three children. He was a lot. He was so creative. I mean, young kid, you know, extremely creative, kind of like, you know, all over the place. And I saw his affinity for music really young. His dad was like, "No, that boy, you don't need to be playing music." I said, "I'm telling you, I saw it as clear as day." And he's a percussionist, and he's doing amazing. And I think it's so important to foster the talents that you see, you know, in, you know, your children. And it's wonderful to be parents, but we still kind of got to go back to our first love, what brings us hope and joy and peace. And it certainly has been music for both of us, and I have, of course, more great questions for you.
If
you could take a page from the movie Back to the Future with that old DeLorean and Michael J. Fox and that crazy doctor, is there anything that you would change about your life?
No, I wouldn't. No, I wouldn't change a thing. You know, you get an opportunity to pretty much life is playing the hand that you dealt. You can always wish you had more cards or better cards, but the whole thing about life is enjoying what you have because, let's face it, I call these folks dreamers. You can always dream about what's better on the other side of the fence, but you really don't know. You know, you're changing one hand for another, but you don't know how those hands were set up. So,
hello.
So, you know, that's why you always have to thank God for where you are, praise Him for His blessings, praise Him for the times that you've gotten into situations that He's helped you out of, or that
that's
He allowed
right.
you to go through some trauma or whatever, because at the end of the day, it's all for your good. So, you know.
Right.
I could say, yeah, I wish I would have been in music longer, but no, what about my family? How would that impact them? And
exactly.
So, you know, I'm blessed to be where I am. I thank God for where I am, and, you know, I wouldn't change a thing.
I agree with you, man. When you said that, once again, you're like, you're teaching me today. You're reminding me of some wonderful things. I think about, because when you said trauma, it made me woo me all the way back. I think about some of the traumatic things that I went through, and I realized, I said, you know what, it helped to build the fire, you know, in me. And at the same time, I realized that that lesson wasn't just for me. It was for those other people that I could help to walk through some of the same things that I walked through. And yet still it's like, because the Bible says, you know, you can go through the fire and not, and come out on the other side and not even smell like the smoke that you walked through, right? And so
that's
I
right.
am always happy to share those tough, hard life lessons and I'm talking about being a single mom that wasn't what I wanted my life to be, but unfortunately went through divorce and all that. It was really much of a challenge. So I have the wonderful opportunity as a speaker and a writer to go out and share, you know, how you raise, you know, a single male child. I mean, he needs the mom and the father, but how do you do it? How do you get through it and keep your sanity, make sure that they are who they are. And it worked out. So we're going to get into some fun stuff. Our time is kind of coming to an end. I'm trying to squeeze all the juice out of this lemon. So is there one common thread that you would say describes a successful musician? Is there one common thread?
Consistency.
It is.
You, in order to be a successful musician, you have to keep working at it. Regardless of what goes on or what you do, as long as you stay consistent and keep moving, you will be successful. Because let's face it, success is how you define it. So
yeah.
If you want to be, I want to be a recording artist. Okay, well, technically, when you publish, you are a recording artist.
Mm-hmm.
How successful that is. You know, so it's success is based on, like I said, how you define it. So you have to be consistent. You know, one of my friends is a wonderful guitarist. He says, now he's retired now, so he comes to me, are you part of the everyday club? What do you mean? That you practice every day. I said, my man, you know, I'm still working on that because, you know, I still have a full-time job. I have to go to school and deal with 20 teachers and 700 kids a day. So, you know, every day I may not get a chance to practice. But the fact of the matter is being consistent and working on your craft makes you is the common thread between all musicians.
Man, wow. When you said that, it was a great segue into, you know, my next question is, how important is it to pass a musical baton on to the next generation?
Oh, that's extremely important because basically in our culture, music is one of the main pillars. So passing on and making sure that the children and the children's children are able to perform, express themselves, and understand the music of the past, because let's face it, you have to listen to those stories that those musicians tell in their music from the past to know exactly where you're going in the future. I know you got in times back then you had one or two different genres going on at the same time, and now there are probably about 30 or 40 different genres nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact is, knowing the stories behind why the music was written and why the musicians wrote that music and what they had to say is extremely important in your culture and in your life, because that dictates how you move forward. And, you know, if you think about it, when a song comes on, doesn't that, a lot of times, especially if you listen to that song when you're younger, doesn't it take you back to that particular time and what happened at the time? Oh, memories that are connected, feelings that are connected, all of that happens when you hear that particular song. So that's why it's extremely important that our youngsters understand music and able to actually express themselves in that language as well.
Man, I'm telling you, instead of mouthful, because songs are steeped in storytelling and there's so many messages that are in there. When you said that, it made me think about, I love the sound of New Orleans. I think about New Orleans jazz, I mean, and how they celebrate their loved ones when they pass on. I mean, they get in the streets and they start dancing. You know, they're not mourning, they're not wailing. And so you really took me back to that seminal moment, place and time. I've got some friends in New Orleans and how they celebrate life and love and all that through the big band sound, you know, out in the streets in the Mardi Gras and all of that. So, man, this has been so much fun today, so educational. no pun intended. We want to play one last track, Your Smile, and then we're going to come back and we're going to put you in the hot seat. We won't make it too hot. We're going to put you in the hot seat and ask you a couple of questions, and then we're going to get out of here so you can enjoy some more time with your daughter. So we're going to play the track Your Smile, and if you can set that up, we'll play it for the fans.
Sure. I say good music is good music. Your Smile was one of my favorites, actually one of my wife's favorites, because she suggested that I do this. So, you know, of course, what they say, happy wife, happy life. So we go in and I went into the studio and put this together, and she was happy. So when she was happy, I was happy.
All right. Let's take a listen, y'all.
Hi, I'm saxophonist and songwriter Andre Delano. Have you experienced the Coffee Talk Jazz Party? You'll hear music that is rich and melodic, carrying listeners on a musical journey. You'll also hear artists that push the musical boundaries, blending classical jazz with R&B soul, and you will enjoy it all right here on Coffee Talk Jazz Radio with personality and host Miss Bridget Lewis, a.k.a. the Coffee Lady. So be sure to visit my official website, AndreDelano.com, as well as the official Andre Delano fan page on Facebook. Thank you, and I look forward to seeing you there.
Hey, guys and dolls, we are back. I hope you guys have enjoyed good coffee and great chat with my very special guest. Dr. Johnny is still in the building, and so we want to put him in the hot seat. We won't make it too hot. Okay, so we know you're an educator, you're a dad, you're a husband, you're a brother, you're a business owner, and you're so busy. So the question is, what do you do for fun? What do you do in your downtime? Do you like to fish, parasail, hang glide? Like, what do you do for fun? What do you like to do?
Well, I enjoy traveling.
I love going. That's always good.
But, we've been recently we've been doing the cruises every now and then. I've been on a couple of cruises, and I kind of enjoy it. Well, you know, one time I wouldn't go past a 3-day, so I actually did a 4. I said, okay, well, that's pretty good. We're going to try something a little longer later on.
Okay.
I also enjoy fishing. Fishing is one of the things that I do in my downtime. Yes. Yes. And of course, I'm a movie person as well.
Okay.
So I love going into a movie theater and seeing a new movie or every now and then. But a lot of my employees or my teachers would know that on the first night of a conference, after we check in and everything, I'm going to go find a movie theater and see what's out there.
I love that. That keeps you centered and grounded. I mean, Dr. John, let me tell you, you are amazing, such a phenomenal talent. I understand why you are a teacher, why you are an educator. You have imparted so much today, and I really appreciate you taking out the time today on this Saturday to spend with me and our friends. And we're not done with him, y'all. Y'all, I'm from Houston, so, you know, it comes out. I'm a real one. And we've enjoyed you so much. He and I are doing some great things. We don't want to let the cat out the bag just yet, but we got some good stuff that's coming down the pike, and y'all will hear about it, see about it, and all that other good stuff. And so I just want to say thank you so much, and I want to say with music in our hearts and with jazz in our souls, we want to thank you, our friends, fans, and supporters, for making Coffee Talk Jazz award-winning and number one. We love you so much for listening, and we'll see you next time. We're going to go ahead and take it out with trumpeter Mr. Ron Finnick with his project entitled Cascade. Thank you, Dr. Johnny. Have an amazing day.
Thank you. All right, you too. All right.